We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio and ESPN2. As always, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can catch us on Sirius XM Channel 80 or your smart speakers everywhere. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. And man, literally, from start to finish, what a show at Talladega by NASCAR, with the emotional beginning of every single driver and pit crew member walking out and pushing Bubba Wallace's car to the front of the grid before the start of the race, to the incredible finish. It was quite a day, man.
Yeah, it was. And a day, by the way, we got baseball back as well.
Maybe. I'm not. Yeah. Listen, I've been down that road, okay? Show me where the ink's dried. And as Jeff Passan said, when it's all said and done, then I'll believe it. We'll have that discussion later.
I actually think we're going to get it back, and we're going to get it back very soon. But, boy, what we saw yesterday.
What a shotgun wedding of baseball reunion.
I know. Unbelievable.
With this contract, Ivy Wed.
Ivy Wed until I sue you, which is right around the corner. Yeah. But we did get a sport yesterday going on in NASCAR, which has been running incredibly well since they started May 17th, and we know what got thrown into this, obviously, as well, with all the ridiculousness going on at Talladega. But boy, yesterday, you know, you said yesterday, Trey, what was going to happen at the beginning of the race? What could they do at the beginning of the race for a show of support for Bubba Wallace? And we saw it. I mean, we saw it from crew people to drivers all walking with Bubba Wallace or pushing his car to the front of the line. Everybody involved standing with him for the national anthem. What a great shot of him standing up and kind of doing the selfie video with everybody behind him. It was a great show of unity. And then, oh, by the way, what a hell of a finish to that race that we got in the actual sport on the track that was going on.
Yeah, I just, you know, right before 3 o'clock, I realized, okay, race is on. Let me click on and see what happens. And I watched the first few minutes of that. I had to rewind and watch it like three times. I mean, it got me, you know, and then to see the reaction from Bubba and just the emotions that he's been dealing with, to see that support from all his drivers. And it had come out before that. We had talked about it before the show or during the show yesterday. What were they going to do to show support? And a couple of tweets, including one by Clint Bowyer, which was phenomenal. So don't bleep with us. You're bleeping with all of us. We're family. And the drivers made that statement very clear yesterday. I mean, I literally had to watch it three or four times to sort of let it sink in. It really hit me hard.
It was, and that was what we called for yesterday. Yeah. That, all right, one of your own was attacked. How are you going to respond? Are you going to rally around this person now? And it was. It was the exact show of unity that moment needed, and quite frankly that moment deserved, if Bubba Wallace was someone that these guys truly cared about in the ways that they all claim. So that was great to see.
Yeah, it was great to see. And then the race happened. Bubba led for a very short time in the race.
But it looked like he was going to win. Then he ran out of gas.
If anybody watched the broadcast, you knew he wasn't going to, as a lot of cars were, as they were trying to say, it was great. It was like, just when are these cars going to run out of gas? Everybody was praying for a caution toward the end. Yeah. They finally got one, but it was a little late because everybody was trying to conserve. It was great for someone like me who is a casual fan. It was kind of a great education to watch guys run in the front, not able to save gas. Guys that would just hang in the middle, able to half throttle it and save gas. It was a really good way to learn more about racing. As I've watched racing before, but to really hear them explain things, you kind of knew Bubba and a number of other drivers weren't going to win this thing because they weren't going to have enough gas to finish the race.
Man, that is, as new NASCAR fan Mike Golic Jr., what a relatable moment of saying, I know my car, I know how much gas is going to get me to this gas station, I can make it just fine, only to find yourself stalled out on the highway asking someone to bring you a gallon. That is a moment of relatability for the sport. But what you mentioned there is, I think, one of the important things to hit on in all this, because we've talked about, and you heard Bomani Jones in the open, the hard work is continuing all this energy as we go forward, to continue to call out people who aren't acting right. Again, if you all love Bubba Wallace the way that you claim to do, this is going to be change that is hard earned, because it's change that has come very late. But we've always heard, well, NASCAR is going to lose fans over this. You might also gain fans. Like, yesterday was fun. Now, granted, right. it happened on a Monday because of a weather delay, so there were some changes in the way we were all going to consume it. But you saw it being consumed online in a very group setting in a way that most people weren't used to. You saw NASCAR's Twitter account responding in kind, explaining NASCAR overtime rules to people that had questions, asking if people had other questions for the new NASCAR fans that were showing up in a lot of this. This has been a catalyst for people who wouldn't have otherwise been interested in the sport or felt welcome in the sport in the ways that we've talked about to come over and check it out. And you happen to check it out at, you know, the fastest racetrack in the sport, one that's known for exciting finishes that delivered on all those fronts. And so you've got a moment now where if you're NASCAR, you realize, yeah, you might lose some fans that you carve out because of, you know, the history of the sport that you're trying to do away with in certain aspects. You might also gain a bunch if you play your cards right in this.
By the way, Ryan Blaney won the race. Ricky yeah. Stenhouse was second, and Eric Almirola was third backwards.
By yeah. a butt cheek.
Literally yeah. slid just about completely backwards. I thought I was watching Talladega Nights there for a minute, you know, with cars sliding all over the place at the end. So we'll obviously get more into the race. I love the line by Blaney winning it, how he was holding off everybody, but it was a very exciting finish. So I guess you could say from start to then finish for this race, there was a whole lot of meaning, double meaning really, and the most important, obviously, social issue going on. I love the fact that afterward, Bubba Wallace walked up to the crowd. Remember, yeah. there were 5,000 people at this fans at this, and he walked up to the crowd and he was talking to people there, and he even mentioned on the interview after about how for some of the people there, they'd said this was their first time to a race. So, maybe they'll go to more races, maybe they won't, but you are going to get some new fans if they stick with NASCAR. We'll see, but right now you're getting more eyes on the sport for sure.
Well, and you saw like a large group of black fans at that yeah. race that Bubba was going and interacting with, and you saw Black Lives Matter shirts, and you saw a presence at that racetrack that would not have been there before had it not been for Bubba calling for action weeks before this, and certainly the rallying cry around him that's existed since.
Yeah, listen, and the thing, Blaney apparently is one of Wallace's best friends, and it was, he talked about it afterwards, saying it shows you're not going to scare him, you're not going to scare him, and they stood beside him. You know, Marty Smith told us a long time ago that video that they put out was at the behest of Jimmy Johnson, the driver, to make sure that they were on top of this and wanted people to know where they stood on this, and they stood with Bubba Wallace in that video. And after the race, Jimmy Johnson on a Zoom call basically said how important it was for him to come up with the idea to make sure we show all this support for Bubba.
Until we started walking and I could see every driver there and looked back and saw each team jump off the wall and fall in line. To go back to the rain delay, first thing I did is looked at my phone and saw the photos, and to see how many people were on pit road showing their support for Bubba, that warmed me up tremendously. It was hard to really know it in the moment. You know, we're obviously out there on the grid and without fans in the stands, it's a much different environment. But as I looked over my shoulder and as I saw the photos after, you know, I realized the power of that statement and how many people were involved.
And by the way, Bubba spoke after the race. We can't air it because it was on a rival network. But he said, sorry, I'm not wearing my mask. He told Fox, holding an American flag adorned with a COVID-19 protection face covering his hand. But I wanted to show whoever it was that you're not going to take away my smile, and I'm going to keep on going.
Also worth noting, Ryan Blaney, who won the race, is one of Bubba Wallace's best friends. There was great, I saw from a while back, they took a road trip together and documented it on Snapchat. These are two guys that care about each other. So for him to win the race on this particular day, knowing, I'm sure, how he felt personally about all this, and I saw a bunch of interviews that they posted with him where he was very passionate about how hurt he was and how much he wanted to rally around Bubba, was certainly a very interesting. If Bubba wasn't going to win it, it seemed like that was the guy who probably understood the gravity of this day as well as anybody.
And by the way, we mentioned Ryan Blaney won. We'll talk more about that. He won by 0.007 of a second. That's how close it was for guys going 190 miles an hour, and he won by 0.007 of a second for the second straight race at Talladega. And Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
0.007 yeah. of a second.
That's a swimming thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the finish between Michael Phelps and the yeah. relay at the 2008 exactly. Olympics in Beijing.
That's the 40 times at the combine, like those little spots where we're like, oh man, you are dragging out there. It's unreal.
But this is at 190 miles an hour.
It was incredible. It was an absolutely incredible show from start to finish. By the way, One of Scott Van Pelt's producers said his name should be James Bond since he won by 007.
Okay. I listen. Right.
Again, he's done that twice now.
Lean into it.
1,000 twice. Yeah.
Lean into it.
007 twice. All right. So lots more to get to on this, including NASCAR's investigation into the noose found in Bubba Wallace's garage and another NASCAR venue dealing with the same issue and how they go forward.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, Golic and Wingo with you on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So an incredible response yesterday from the drivers of NASCAR after the noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage area and the unanimous show of support. The FBI is now investigating that situation, and hopefully they'll find this idiot sooner rather than later. There's been another one, unfortunately, a piece of twine, they're now saying now, on a tree outside the racetrack in Sonoma. There was also a noose. So what does this tell us? This tells us that this is not going to go away.
No, this is never going to go away overnight.
And this is going to be a thing that people need to be prepared to fight for. And you know, it's one thing to get caught up in the moment, and it was quite the moment yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's another thing, are you in this for real? And it certainly seems like NASCAR has dug its heels in, right? And said, look, we are banning that flag. We are not about this. We're not going to do it anymore. And it maybe took them too long to get here, but we're here now. And it feels like NASCAR is here and ready for the duration. And it's going to be a duration.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, the road is still going to be bumpy. You know, I know the smooth track, but it's going to be a bumpy road because there are going to be, now in this, there were 5,000 fads and there were no, you know, we knew the day that it was postponed, there were a bunch of Confederate flags outside the racetrack. When they get those 100,000 people in the stands again at some point.
And the infield back.
In the infield, you're going to get people trying to bring in that flag. It's going to happen. And then what is NASCAR going to do to police that? You know, these things are still going to happen. It's not, and I mean, the new stuff is just absolutely ridiculous. So not only NASCAR being involved and finding out, hopefully they find out who did that and they're out of racing forever, but if the legal aspect gets into that as well, if it's determined a hate crime and then let the legal part of it take over as well. So it took them a while to get here. There is no doubt about it. They're here. Now can they sustain? Because it's not going to end, that's for sure.
Yeah, and here was Michael Wilman on PTI with that specific point.
This has taken some guts on their part. This fight is not over. This is a fight. I'm a cynic when it comes to this. This is going to be a fight. This is not going to be easy. Nothing good that comes out of anything is ever done easily. I'm disgusted by it. I'm not particularly surprised at all by it. And I just wonder where it's going. NASCAR has dug its heels in, as well as the anti-protesters digging their heels in. And we're going to settle in here now, and we're going to see where this goes. And I just hope that Bubba and all the people, the new people supporting him and the drivers supporting him, I hope they've got the stomach for this fight because it's going to be one hell of a fight.
And that's the interesting thing, right? I mean, we're all sort of we've all sort of been caught up in this movement and this moment across the country. But if you're here, are you here for the duration? And it feels like NASCAR is. It really does. It feels like they have wherever it probably took them too long to make that turn, but they made the turn. And they're here now, and I don't think NASCAR has any ability to go back at this point.
We'll see. I'm very excited to see if that is the way that they can go. If at any point along this, it becomes, you know, at all an issue of, are your finances at all affected by this? Is there anything that you lose materially off of this that would not even make someone think about going back, but would just make someone think about not taking steps forward continually? Because that's the fight in here, is what Wilbon described there, is it's going to take being active. It has to be an active role in calling out and casting out these things as they come up. And there are going to be instances as people return to the sport where that becomes a lot more difficult than it is now.
But Monty Jones on Highly Questionable with Dan Lebatard somewhat echoed what Wilbon said of saying there's a long way to go.
The racists are trying to say that NASCAR belongs to us, right? So regardless of whatever NASCAR claims is where they're coming from, Those people are speaking, and those people have been coddled for years. Those people were coddled by the fact that you didn't really do anything about the Confederate flag when you had an opportunity to do so. Those people were coddled when Richard Petty, who will show up to put his arm around his driver, Bubba Wallace, in this time, said in 2017 that the people who wanted to kneel should go find another country to live in. This is in the air because they ain't doing anything to get rid of it, right? They've had opportunities. They've been in positions, and they decided time and time again that the feelings and the interests of racists meant more than decency. Now this is coming to catch up with them. So I can appreciate the efforts that they are trying to make right now, but they are here because for a long time they told these people, you have a safe haven here, and now those folks want to keep it.
Listen, it took a while. There's no doubt about it. And Richard Petty did say those things in 2017, of which now he said he was wrong for saying that. So it comes down to the question again we've asked. Have people, some people have maybe changed their mind on what they see out of NASCAR now, and others may not so much, but are going along with what everybody's doing right now. So I guess at the end of it all, do you say, well, we are here. However we got here, we're here. It's way late to the party. There's no doubt about that, but they're here and they seem to have, there seems to be complete backing by the drivers, which could be the most important thing. But we'll see where the road ahead goes, because this isn't normal NASCAR yet. This isn't the 100,000 people hanging around. This isn't what will we see, as you mentioned, Mike, advertisers. Those are keys, and there's a lot of them in NASCAR. Where do they go with all this? So while it took a while, the road was long, and to be a little cheeky here, but they're somewhere now where they like, and who's going to win the long battle? Because it's going to be a long battle. How long will people try and bring in the Confederate flag? How long will they have them outside the racetrack and show, hey, we don't want to change. We think this is part of our heritage and we want it to still be part of this. How long will that happen? How long will they hang outside there? Will they eventually go away? Will they eventually put their flags down because they love NASCAR and just want to watch racing? What's going to happen? Which way does this go? And we won't know that for a while.
No, and I don't want to discount how difficult it is to change someone's mind, because it is, but it's even harder to change actions and create new habits. And we all know that just from our real lives. And so if you're able to start with this idea of people believing a certain thing in the most comfortable environment to try and learn that new belief system possible, that is great. Going forward, it will do nothing but get harder. And so over time, just like building any new habit, that's going to be the difficult task that NASCAR faces, is policing itself, its drivers policing itself, and its fans at certain times when the situation will be less uncomfortable, and making sure you're up to the task of doing that work. Because again, as we've pointed out, Bubba Wallace doesn't have a choice. Yeah. A lot of the rest of these guys, I know we say there's no going back, but that is not necessarily the case. They are not straddled with it in the same way. And so that is going to be the challenge going forward. And it's one that, based on what we've seen, we can all be hopeful in the way it goes, but we've got to wait and see to find out.
Yeah, Ryan McGee had a great point when they first banned the flag, and he said, you know, he was with a flyover once with NASCAR where they were looking for illegal knockoff replica things being sold on the infield. If they're looking for it, they can certainly find it. And it feels like NASCAR, whether, you know, they took too long, whatever, they're here now, and it feels like they're ready to keep the pedal on the gas here. By the way, Steve Phelps also said after the race that he wouldn't get into too many specifics about the camera, but there are cameras available on the crew, in that crew area where the noose was found in Bubba's garage, and they are looking into that. So we'll see what happens on that part of it going forward.
Pedal on the gas, long bumpy road. You guys are really going to lean into the car puns for
this.
Well,
why not? You know,
just keep on turning. Mm-hmm. We'll keep going. Just keep on turning. Coming up, as new NASCAR fans are being found, perhaps they're being culled from a sport that used to have a lot of fans to watch something in the summertime, which we ain't been watching yet, and I'm still not sure we're going to get there until it actually happens.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Aha, man.
I wanted you just alone on that last one. You were looking to us.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, no.
Okay. Hit the note.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I don't think you did.
Dogs are now up.
Like you hit the note in the
dogs
way.
Dogs are now up.
Yeah.
I meant my dogs. Hank and Harry will be fair. Down very shortly, I'm sure, after that.
You hit the note the way I used to try and hit that note. So there's this bar called the Hang Up in Chicago that stays open till like 5 a.m.
It's Shout out the bar, Hang Up. Let's go.
It always used to be like the after hours spot when we would go out when I was, you know, living there and I'm in my mid-20s and we're, you know, crushing it every weekend. And that bar in the basement would always throw on like old school hits like that, like 90s, late 80s stuff in the basement to be playing music videos. And I would often think I was hitting that note.
Uh-huh.
Much like we talked about the shower. Is the sound booth of the home where everyone sounds good.
Yes.
The basement at the Hang Up will make you think you are absolutely crushing it on stage live when really you are just fat and sweaty.
You are really just terrible.
Just so bad.
Speaking of terrible, hey, in the most baseball move ever, by the players rejecting a proposal, they've insured a season. Right? I mean, doesn't that sums it up, right? By rejecting the last proposal, hey, we're finally going to get to play baseball.
Yeah, and again, again, go to the fine print. Rejecting a proposal and having baseball implement when the season starts just gives the players the right to file a grievance, which won't affect this 60-game season in playoffs should everything run smoothly, let's hope, once it all starts in July. But there will be an effect down the road as the new CBA is on the horizon. This grievance will be on the horizon. That's what this did. So effectively, we got back to the March agreement, basically where we are. Players will 60 games at their pro rata. They'll make about 37% of their salary because 60 games out of 162. And we basically are right back where we started.
This would have been a really great Willy Wonka strike that reverse it moment.
Yes.
If you could have just had this instead of the last bit of negotiation we had, because if you're the players and you had come off of that whole when and where campaign that we saw on Twitter and this had been the direct follow up, you would have continued to be able to draft all of that goodwill that you had gotten aligning yourselves with fans instead of the last round of bickering that ultimately just lets this be kind of like putting the cigarette out at the end. Like, all right, we're done with this.
Right. To your point about Willy Wonka, you get nothing. I said good day, sir. Good day, sir. That's sort of what this feels like. So the Major League Players Baseball Association executive board rejected the 60-game offer with expanded playoffs and a vote of 33-5, which again gives Commissioner Rob Manfred the position to implement a schedule of his choosing, likely between 50 or 60 games. So the MLB executive board met multiple times and couldn't get something together. And it just basically means that they're going to be have a season shoved down their throat.
Here we are. So it's going to 60 games, going to start around July 24th, spring training 2.0, July 1st. Baseball asked the union on Monday whether players will be able to report to training camp in their respective cities within 7 days, hopefully by July 1st. Number of playoff teams will be 10 for this season. The salary structure, as I mentioned, 60 games will get pro rata, 100% pro rata for those 60 games as well. And then, you know, we go on from there. The players have to approve the health and safety, which, as I said in SportsCenter, it looks like they're going to do. Here's one of the things that I don't know if anybody really knows about. One of the things that is going to happen on the field this year. And the players and the union previously agreed to adopt this and they're going to use it right now. For the regular season,
everyone plays dressed as the mascot of the team.
No, they do not. But if you go to extra innings, you start with a man on second.
Love that.
They're adopting the minor league rule for extra innings, beginning every half inning after the ninth inning with a runner on second base. The rule was set for only the regular season, for now at least, and only for this year as well. So that's one of the ancillary things you will see since 60 games, you know, and you know, so I think that'll be interesting to see where that goes and how that goes. You know what'll be interesting? I was reading about it and I said, oh yeah, think about an injury that's like a 4-week injury. How much you miss? I mean, you're starting July 24th. You're still talking about the World Series in October. That's just a few months. You have an injury that's a 2-week injury, a month injury, a 6-week injury. Man, you're missing a lot of time. And you know those are going to happen. They're going to happen right out of the gate because guys haven't been playing. So just like we talk about with football, when you finally get to training camp, some of the soft tissue injuries that might be happening, same thing's going to happen here. And where football, they're still looking to play an entire season. In baseball, again, 37% basically here. So you miss some time. You're going to miss a good part of that season.
We're going to find out how many of these injuries that we saw guys taking time for during seasons and years past where you're dealing with the normal length schedule are really just small vacations built into a very long season,
right,
and what you can actually play through. Because you're right, as much as we've talked about how disingenuous maybe some of the averages or stats might be, this is the far bigger concern for anyone getting ready to resume play.
And just so people understand what a 60-game season is and what it isn't, the Nationals are World Series champs, the defending World Series champs. They wouldn't have made the playoffs last year through 60 games.
Yep.
That's how dramatic a 60-game schedule is in Major League Baseball. According to our friends at the Elias Sports Bureau, about a third of eventual playoff teams in the wild card era going back to 1995 were not in playoff position through 60 games. So the strength of baseball, for lack of a better term, is the ability to fight and claw and finish when you need to finish. That's sort of thrown out the window.
It is. With 162, as far as games, there's the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of a season, and who can manage through all that. Now there's just an ebb.
there is, but it's
been ebbing for a while.
It's interesting to think about that because some of what Trey mentioned there, like the war of attrition that is a Major League Baseball season, can be twofold. You can hit your stride because people get healthy at the right time, or just because of the freak number occurrences that happen, weird hot streaks built into all this. Like we always talk about going into the postseason, if you get a pitcher, a rotation that all of a sudden starts to really get hot, or a batter and all this, these shorter sample sizes, because baseball, we talk about how unique it is, and I always go back to the 2016 Cubs because that was one of those teams that was a wire-to-wire great team, top team in baseball. And so much of the conversation leading up to that was how, well, that rarely happens in baseball because the sample size is so large. You're not always getting the best team that wins in all this. I wonder if shortening the sample size makes that more or less possible. If because we're dealing with less games, it's truly just going to be who the best team is, not the team that can survive all this. Yeah. Or if the volatility of those injuries we just mentioned makes it an even more random sample.
Well, I mean, like, go back to 2006 when the Cardinals won the World Series that year. They won the Central Division that year with a record of 83-78. That was by far the worst record of any division winner, yet they found a way to get hot at the end and won the World Series.
You just got to kind of throw out normalcy of a regular season, you know, that we're normally used to for this. And what seems like a year ago, remember that 76-page memo or whatever about the policy for testing and such? So will that be implemented? Will there be tweaks to it? Because that's what the players are going to sign today about the health and safety. Some of the things that were in that original 67-page book about health and safety, players will be screened for temperature multiple times per day, tested for coronavirus multiple times per week. Anyone testing positive immediately quarantined. Two negative tests are required to get back on the field. Players and other team personnel not participating in the game are going to sit in the stands separated by at least 6 feet. So this is what you'll see when you're watching the games on TV. No high fives, no fist bumps or hugs. No spitting, no chewing of tobacco or sunflower seeds or any combination thereof. A minimal distance between base runners, fielders, coaches, and umpires will be encouraged as much as possible. And then, Mike, a ball will be thrown out once it's been touched by multiple players. You're going to go through a lot of baseballs, doubt about that. And then what's the one thing we would, after a practice and or game, what would we mock players for if they did this?
Shower pill.
The shower pill. You do a practice or a game, and all of a sudden you see a guy is dressed quicker than normal. You're like, and they get mocked for not taking a shower and just getting dressed. We say, you took your shower pill. Well, that's going to be encouraged. Post-game showers will be discouraged.
Happy stink, everybody.
Yeah, so basically you finish a game, you're sweating up, you're griming up, and they want you to just kind of get dressed and go.
Which is a shame because, man, there's no greater team bonding experience than team
shower?
Showers.
That's exactly right. It's very true.
So
very
all true. Of this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So we're here, essentially where we were in March. It just took us a few months to get here. So what has this done to the sport? Here again is, sadly, the guy who finally is on the cusp of getting us to the deal zone, our Major League Baseball insider, Jeff Passan.
It's going to be playing amid the NBA playoffs and amid the start of the NFL season and amid all these other things. It has a very good chance of getting lost because I feel like the damage that was done here is as much to the brand and the idea of baseball as the game itself. It's as much to a lost opportunity cost. Baseball had such an incredible opportunity to really differentiate itself and come back and do things the right way. And instead, it was fighting like there was a collective bargaining agreement at stake when that's not going to be over until the end of 2021. There are a lot of things that baseball needs to fix, and it's got about a month to fix them. And the first thing that I think that needs to happen is the players need to come out and do the best job that they can of selling the game over the next month and trying to let bygones be bygones, as hard as that may be, considering the treatment that they feel they received from ownership.
It's not going to be hard. I mean, there have been labor strife in all sports.
Yeah, but this one, they seem to take it way more personally.
I disagree. I mean, they take it personally, but go see what happened in 94. Okay, baseball was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dead. I mean,
and there's, I hear what you're saying, but I think they're still harboring some of those feelings from 94, and that's why this is spilling into all this garbage.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean, we're going to do this again in a year. That's the worst part.
That's what I'm getting to. That's exactly where I'm going. You know what? You have labor strife. You go back on the field. The players aren't going to have to act like everything is kumbaya. They're going to do what they normally do when you come back from a battle with the owners. You go play ball. That's what they're going to do. No, the owners and players aren't going to hold hands and sing kumbaya. They never did. So they're just going to go play baseball, and people are going to watch them play baseball. It was ugly till it got to this point. They may lose some fans for a bit. They'll come back if they really like baseball. We're going to watch baseball in a wacky season, just like all these wacky seasons are. And then it may get even worse after the 2000. We don't know what next year brings because of all the loss of revenue this year, of what that's going to do to free agency. So next year could get ugly. And then again, for the CBA after the 2021 season. But I don't think anybody's got to make an amends to anybody on this. You know what? You looked foolish doing it. You argued. We all mocked you for it. Now you're going to go play baseball.
I guess the only thing I would say to that is it took steroids and Cal Ripken in this home run race of 98 for us to forget about 94 and 95. I mean, it wasn't instantaneous, and they're still mad at each other. And I think that's going to look, and this is the worst part about this for me, is that they're going to get through this and play this tricked up season where, again, according to the Live Sports Bureau, a third of teams that made the playoffs in the division in the wild card era would not have made the playoffs through 60 games, and then we're gonna have to settle in for another. It's gonna be worse.
Yeah,
it's gonna be worse again the second time around.
Right. So that was gonna happen anyway. So what? I mean, it was gonna be a tricked up season anyway, no matter what.
So this is what I would say, because I think all of those things are true. It's gonna get uglier going forward, more than likely in a lot of ways. Maybe they've learned something, but I doubt it. This seems to be a pretty fractured relationship. So what I'd say in the interim is, if baseball would like anything good to come from this truncated season, it would be to cauterize the wound right now. Meaning, you're the players coming back, make sure that this isn't a topic of discussion that's lingering when you're asked about it in the media. That the next time you're in front of a microphone in any of these settings isn't your chance to lash out at ownership in this, because it does no good at this point, because what Jeff was right about is the lost opportunity cost in all this. When you look at the other sports that come back, Dad, even now when you were describing all the different things about baseball, outside of the second base runner when we get to extra innings in here, there's no real catalyst of anything different than we haven't heard. The social distancing measures in the sport, we've seen other leagues implement. The testing policies, we've seen. There's not a bubble scenario that's different or unusual. There's no real catalyst for new viewership or anything to change. Because I think people slide back into old habits. It'll be a nice passive viewing experience for the people that want it there. But you had an opportunity, like we've seen a lot of these other leagues capitalize on right now. It's not to say that NASCAR ever wanted to capitalize on this, but they've got a very big catalyst for change in their sport right now in the form of Bubba Wallace and what he has started in that sport. And so you're seeing a new approach to the way that people view that. We saw everything that happened with Tiger and Phil. That was golf doing something unique and different in the time that worked really well. On and on down the list of this. The NBA and the NFL never have to worry about this stuff because they're so popular, they're kind of immune in all of this. And so baseball had a chance to use this time period, an unusual time period, one that no one wanted to be in, and be what we talked about, be first, be a source of relief. And they balked on that. So instead, it's going to come back, and I think people are largely going to forget the strife that led to it, but they're also not going to necessarily be clamoring for it.
There's nothing new to latch on.
It's just going to sort of be there.
Right. You're exactly right. It's just going to be there. And sadly, Jeff Passan, our fine Major League Baseball insider, once again said that's what sort of baseball is hoping for.
I think when it's all said and done, We want sports. And you see that, Scott, everywhere. You've seen that with the match in golf. You see that with UFC. You saw it this evening when I turned on the NASCAR race to watch the last 10 or so laps. And there's a photo finish at the end. And my 12-year-old looks at me, a kid who's never seen NASCAR before, and says, that was pretty cool.
It was that.
And I think you're going to see it with baseball. I mean, it was that, and it was so much more. I think you're going to see that with baseball, though. I think that for all of the frustration that there has been, the game is still the game. And the game is going to be beautiful, whether there are fans there or whether there aren't, whether it took too long to get back or whether it didn't. The game remains the game.
You know what this feels like? And it's perfect for the times that we're in right now. It feels like when we started quarantine and there was a novelty to all those challenges that were going around. Yeah. You were doing the push-up challenge or the trick shot challenge or the stay-home challenge or any of these things.
The eat five burger challenge.
And then somewhere along the line, you got tagged in one and you just went, again?
Yeah.
Like, there was a novelty when the UFC and WWE came back and there were no fans at first and we weren't sure how that was going to look, sound, or feel in a lot of this one. And there was, you know, a novelty in NASCAR bringing back fans for the first time and seeing what that was going to feel like. And on down the list with all these different sports. And now baseball's just going to come back and we're going to go, oh, okay, another one.
Yeah. I mean, baseball wasn't exactly in a position to come back any differently. They were just looking to come back first. They weren't changing any of their rules because they're still going to have, to all our points, the same issues they had before. When they get fans back, the average age was 56 years old. They're trying to grab the younger crowd. That wasn't going to happen this season. They were just trying to come back first. To your point, Mike, and I agree. Now, when you come back, don't keep picking at the scab every time the media is in front of you and saying, well, we wanted this, but they wouldn't let us. Just, hey, we're back playing baseball, and just play baseball. But we're coming back and we're just playing baseball, a sport that was, let's be honest, was kind of dying away to the younger crowd out there.
Well, that's the biggest point to me is that, Junior, what you're saying, they had an opportunity and they totally flubbed it. And you mentioned all those other sports. Baseball needed the opportunity more than any other sport. And they chose to just mire in the muck.
The only thing I'll say, Trey, it still would have come back is just baseball. It wasn't coming back anything new that all of a sudden this 24-year-old was going to go on. Oh, wow, baseball, it's so different. No, baseball's coming back, and it's still baseball.
But if it had come back first, there would have been
they would have had the stage.
There would have been a relief of, oh, we've been all dying for sports in certain ways, and it's still one of the four majors, and it's still going to have a bit of a different tenor than some of the other things that we've seen. But like the rest of these, it's a passive viewing experience by and large. The game's too long to be anything but in the way it's played with the pace it's played at. And so you lose out on that initial wave of people's thirst for sports and something that resembles it in a way that might have netted you some new fandom and all this. I mean, hell, look at the way that we rallied around the KBO when it first came back, when it was one of the few things and one of the few forms of sports in that way. You saw people genuinely go to look at that for a while. Baseball could have had some of that same exuberance behind it with much more of a history of fandom.
They did have a chance, but with KBO, once other sports started to come along, people went back to their other sports. So you won. Now, I'm not saying it would have hurt them. It only could have helped them had they come out early. I get it. But I think, to me, they'd have come out baseball, people to watch it because it'd be the only game in town. But as the other sports started going, they'd have drifted off.
I think baseball has more of a history than the KBO did. That would have made what you talked about mitigated a little bit. I don't think you would have seen as much of people throwing it right back away.
I am all in on this runner on second base thing, though. I mean, listen, that's what baseball has to do. They've got to do all
something
that.
Something
they got
to work on down the road.
No question. And all of that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Golic and Wingo with you. All guests this morning will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tim Kirkchen will join us in just about 15 to 20 minutes. But coming up next, there's the NBA, and some players are saying no to the restart for a variety of very interesting reasons. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.